Contractor's journey to self-mastery requires discipline, integrity, and respect. Welcome to Hammer and Grind.
Hey, welcome back to the show. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about something that contractors don't do very well, if at all, and that is onboarding new hires in their business. And I was just having a conversation, a private one-on-one call with one of my clients today, and he had just hired someone last week, and we were talking about some things that he was doing, and it became very apparent that there was no onboarding process. Period. It was like, hey, welcome to the team. Let's get you started out on the job, right? It's usually a phone call. It's like, hey, meet me at this address at 7 a.m. and then we'll get you started. And like for you, you just want to plug them directly into the job because you're trying to free up your time to get off the tools and, you know, put them in place, especially if they're like a lead guy. And this was the case with my client, is that this was a lead guy. And so this is common. I did this. I know a lot of contractors do this, and there's no onboarding process, let alone a documented onboarding process. There's just no onboarding at all. It's meet me at the job site and let's get going. And then we'll kind of just figure out the rest of it as we go. I'll get you a shirt, you know, I'll bring you a shirt today, and then we'll get you ones for the, you know, for the future. And they have to like wear that shirt for like 3 days in a row and take it home and wash it each night because you don't have the shirt. Or, I mean, you'd be surprised. Like this stuff happens everywhere. Right. And then it's like, get going on the job. Like you got to start making me money right now. Like I'm paying you a lot of money. So you got to start producing right this second. And that can't, I mean, that's the worst thing you can do for a new hire in your business. You need to onboard them in many different ways. And that's what I'm going to talk about in this episode, is like the different aspects of that. And really one of the most important things that almost nobody does. And we'll get to that here in a minute. So obviously when you onboard someone, there's going to be certain requirements, right? Like they have to fill out a W-4. That's a requirement. And there's some other papers that go with that. There's federal papers that you have to, you know, fill out. The insurance requirements, bank draft or direct deposit requirements, like all of these things to get them set up in your system, if you will. And this really, I mean, that applies to like employees, doesn't necessarily apply to 1099 contractors. That's a separate process. And really you should have an onboarding process for subcontractors. Like it's a similar process that you go through. It's just going to have different information. It's going to be much more abbreviated than if you're bringing someone on as an employee. However, you should have processes for both. And then on top of that, you should have a different onboarding process for the different positions in your business. So if you're hiring an apprentice, that's going to be different than if you're hiring a lead guy. And if you're hiring an office manager or an assistant, that's going to be different than hiring a lead guy or field people. You could have 4 to 5 to 6 different onboarding processes for your business, depending on what role you're hiring for. The benefit of that is like, you know, 70% of that information is going to be universal across all positions, but then the other 30% is going to be, you know, specific to that job that they're doing. So the tech stuff is going to be like, do they get an email address? Is it a lead guy who's going to have a company email? Got to get that set up. Is he going to have a company phone, a cell phone? Is he going to get a company truck, right? Is he, like, you got to get their driver's license. You got to send it to insurance. Like all of these things have to be done. And if you don't have a written process, it gets to be overwhelming at times. I mean, there's times where you hire a guy, put him in the company truck, find out 3 months later when he gets into an accident that he was never added to your insurance, and therefore they're not going to cover the accident because he wasn't added. Like that one little thing that you forgot to do can cost you thousands of dollars. So having this documented process is going to allow you to replicate this easily with every new person you hire, and even delegate this to someone else. So if you do hire an assistant or you hire an office manager, now you can delegate this. And this is what I did in my business. We'll get into a little bit later about, you know, different types of software and things you can do. And I even have a a sample onboarding checklist. It's actually the checklist that I used in my business. I just removed all of the branding and stuff and some of the things that were unique to me, like, you know, specific software. But you can see how it's just a very simple checklist, a one-page checklist to make sure we're collecting the right information. That's like a low-tech version. And then we can get into like using actual technology, CRMs and softwares to do this digitally. Both options are viable, but you got to have some kind of system to track this. So we know the tech stuff, right? Like we know the guy, if they're getting a company phone, you got to give them the phone. We know we got to get them a shirt. We know if we got to get them on the insurance. We know if we got to get them a company truck. We know these things that we have to get them. That's the tech side of stuff. And that's a little bit easier to remember. But, I mean, do we have them sign an employee handbook? Have we created an employee handbook? You should. Like, that's an absolute must. You need to have an employee handbook. Are you giving that to them and having them sign off on it? In the back of your employee handbook should be a page that's a signature page where they sign off that they received it and read it, or at least, you know, received it. You're going to tear that page out and keep it, right? Or you can have a separate page they sign, whatever. But again, it's this process that's repeatable. Anything that's done more than once in your business should have a process. If it's a one-off thing that you're only going to do one time, don't need a process, okay? I was talking to another client today on a one-to-one, and he was documenting some marketing things on like buying a yard, like creating a yard sign and buying it. And he was creating an SOP. And I said, why are you doing that? Like, how often are you going to redesign the yard sign? Like, once it's designed one time, you're just going to pick up a phone and call them and reorder it. It doesn't require an SOP, right? So like if it's something unique that you're going to do once a year, once every 5 years, you don't really need to have necessarily an onboarding process for it. But anything that's going to be repeated, time clocks, you know, checking in, apps that they use, software, obviously some of these things are going to be a much longer on-ramp time. Like, it, you know, especially if it's a software that you use, that could take months to get them fully integrated, right? You know, assigning them an email address, a company email, that can take 5 minutes. So it just depends. It's all going to vary. But if you're not tracking these things, especially the things that are that take longer, like the insurance, right? Like you get their driver's license, you scan it, and then you email that to your agent. Well, once you email it, you just forget about it. It's like, oh, I did my part. Well, what's the checks and balance there? What if the email didn't go through? What if they dropped the ball and they're in? What if they got the email, but then forgot to put it on your policy, right? So like there needs to be like a checks and balances on that. So I have a, you know, I could have a send an email driver's license to insurance agent and then have a reminder in a month or 2 weeks or whatever to follow up and make sure that they actually got it if I haven't received anything. You know, normally you would get a response from your agent, be like, hey, got it, good to go, they're on your policy, right? But what if you don't get a response? What's the follow-up policy on that? That's an important thing that you, once you do it, you'll forget about it. Like you sent it, I did my job. You can't see me if you're listening. I got my hands up. I did my job. I'm done. It's not my job anymore. It's on somebody else's, you know, responsibility. No. Like, how are you going to follow up and make sure it got done? Right? So you have that in your process and your onboarding. So if you have a, if you're using like a digital format, you can see plain as day, like, hey, we haven't gotten confirmation on the insurance. We need to follow up, right? So that's just one other option. So we know about the tech. We know about the uniforms and, you know, all that stuff. That's pretty easy to understand and know that you need to do, okay? But there's one very important part of the onboarding process that I didn't do this initially. I think I read it in a book or I learned it somewhere, but I started implementing this. And there's really two things. One of them is kind of you do in the interviewing process, or at least I did, but then I do it again on the back end in the onboarding. And that is having an org chart, right? And that's where you have an organizational chart of your business that says, here's all the things that we want to accomplish. And here are all the available, you know, positions that you could possibly move into, especially if you're hiring a lower guy, an apprentice, right? A junior person. You can show them an org chart and see, or they can see that they can move up to, you know, journeyman, they can move up to lead guy, they can move up to project manager, or maybe do a lat move over to sales or whatever, Like they can see a future for themselves in your company. If you just say, hey, Brad, start on Monday at 7 a.m. at the Johnsons, bring your tool belt, and they show up and start working, like that's not an onboarding. You're not giving them a future. It's just a job, right? It's just a job to them. And you're treating them like just an employee who's just doing a job. You should be the catalyst for these people to create better lives for themselves. And so on the onboarding process or during the onboarding process, you should be figuring out like what's important to them. What's their hobbies? Why are they working? Are they saving up to buy a house? Do they like to go, you know, ride BMX or dirt bikes or snowmobile or shoot guns or whatever, right? Try to figure out what's important to them. Do they have kids? Are they trying to have kids? Is their wife pregnant, right? Are they taking care of an elderly parent? Like all of these things are going to factor into their motivation for being there, as well as their, you know, their personality and their moods for the day, each day. If you're hiring someone and then you find out that their wife has cancer, right? And really they just took the job there because you offer insurance or whatever reason like that, you're going to have a little bit of a different, experience with that person. Especially if they're already dealing with a drama when they start working there. I want to know this stuff. And that can come out through an onboarding process where you ask a series of questions. You know, once they've been hired, it's a little more informal now. And sometimes people can feel, you know, more open to sharing some things with you. Maybe, maybe not. It just depends on the person. But in an interview, they're not going to share all that information, or more than likely, they're not going to. In the onboarding process, you can collect some of this information and document whatever is important. Whenever a new contractor joins the Profit Club, I have an onboarding process. And one of the things I have them do is fill out a survey. And that survey asks them personal questions. Are you married? Do you have kids? What's their names and ages? What's your hobbies? Right? Other things that are more business related. I want to track these things because I want to know what my clients are doing, what's going on in their lives. How can I best help them? If I find out they have a different hobby, I might have connections to help them with their hobby. We may have a connection with our hobbies, right? So a lot of my guys are doing lots of different hobbies between shooting and riding motorcycles or horseback or flying. Snowmobile, whatever, camping, right? Like these are all things that I want to know about my employees. It's also an entry point into making a better connection with them within your company to help build that culture. Now, that's the thing I want. That's the secret part. That's the one thing that no one talks about. And that is onboarding them with the culture of your business, okay? What's important to you as a company? Are you going over your core values? Are you establishing what your mission is, what your vision statement is? Are you sharing this information both visually and verbally with them? One of the things I did that was really powerful is at one point I had these rat cards. If you're not familiar with a rat card, it's like maybe 4x6 size, or might be like 3x7 or something like that. I can't remember the dimensions, but it's just like a single piece of cardstock that like fits into a little plastic container. A lot of times they'll be like sitting, you know, like maps. You go to the rest stop and there's like maps that are in these little containers. It's like that kind of size, but it's just a single card. And on the back, and I would hand these out to clients. It just gives you more real estate to put pictures and different things on there. But on the back of my rack cards, I had like, I don't know, 6 or 7 different reviews that I just copied word for word off of Google. And I picked the ones that were the most important. And this is a little tactic you guys can steal. In the review, like say the review said, I hired Brad and his team to remodel a bathroom. They did a fantastic job. They were very professional. And they kept our house clean, you know, during the entire process. Highly recommend. Well, what I would do is highlight the key words, you know, professional and clean. I may bold those. I may italicize those. Don't make fun of me if I say that wrong. italicize those words and bold them so they stick out on the paper. And I would do those, and I would bold the, you know, one or two or three keywords in every single review. So when you look on the card on the back, it just stuck out like a sore thumb, those words, right? And so when you're reading it, I would say, here's what I would do. A new employee come in. I'd say, hey, take a few minutes and read this card. Just read the back of these, read these reviews. And then they would, you know, they would read them. And then I would say, what would you say that our clients appreciate the most about what we do? And they would usually say, well, they appreciate that you're professional, do quality work, and that you are very clean, right? Or tidy or organized, whatever those words are, something around like being clean, keeping their house clean. And I would say, that's right. But the one, and then I would say, which one sticks out the most? Which one was repeated the most? And they say, well, it was clean. I'm like, exactly. Our clients expect to have a quality product, a quality product, but what they care about the most is that we're clean in their house, that we take care of their house. We clean up every single day, right? We vacuum, we put down runners, we do all this to protect their stuff because that's important to them. And so now I'm setting the tone right from day one of the kind of culture and what's important to us, you know, in the business, in our business. And so it's not a matter of, you know, meet me at the Johnson's at 7:00. And then I show up and I'm like, why is this place dirty? Why didn't you sweep up or clean? Well, they didn't know that. And then you get frustrated. Well, it's common sense. It's common sense. You're supposed to sweep up. And I've said this before. No, it's not. That's not common sense.
Hey, just a quick timeout from the show. In the next 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you exactly how you can transform your contracting business. Imagine being part of a community of winners where you can find out exactly what they've done to be successful. That's exactly what you get when you join the Profit Club. But it's not just a community. You get lifetime access to all of my course-related material, including all future material that I add. But wait, there's more. Each week, you'll get access to 3 group coaching calls to talk about sales, marketing, and business problems and answer any questions that you may have. Still not convinced? How about personalized one-on-one coaching to help you overcome your limits? And here's my promise to you. I guarantee you will double your investment within 90 days, or I personally will work with you one-on-one until you do. So don't wait. Elevate your game with the Profit Club today. Now let's get back to the show.
There's common experiences, and if they haven't had that experience in the past, or they don't understand intrinsically why that's important to you, they're not going to do it. You're not going to get buy-in from them because they don't know that. So when you're onboarding people, you're injecting your culture into them from day one and making it known that this is our expectation of you in our business, right? If you do all this, does that mean they're going to go out and just kill it and never have a problem? Of course not. Anytime you learn something new, it's like drinking through a fire hose. It's overwhelm of information and people forget things. They don't hear it the first time, right? So it's a constant battle, if you will, to make sure that they understand this. But if you never do it at all, there's 100% chance they're never going to know that. It's not going to come out through the conversations when they're working with their coworkers, more than likely. So the very first impression that they may have of you, the owner, is that this is our culture and this is what's important, right? And if you miss that opportunity, it's much harder on the back end to try and instill that culture than from the very get-go. Now, here's a caveat. If you haven't already built the culture in your business and you have 3 other employees and you're just now deciding that this is the culture I want and you don't have that culture existing, and then you hire a new guy and you say, this is our culture, and then he goes and works with the other people who do not understand that culture, he's going to quickly think that you don't enforce or, you know, that's you're just blowing smoke and no one really follows that, right? So in a way, in that situation, you're basically setting them up for disappointment. especially if they align with that, if they align with your culture, because honestly, that's why you should be hiring them in the first place, because they fit the culture of your company. You shouldn't be hiring people just because they're really good skilled craftsmen. You should always hire for character and then train for skill in that order. I'm always hiring for character. They could be the best carpenter in the world. If they don't have a good character, they're not getting hired. I do the same thing when I bring people, new contractors into the Profit Club. I'm interviewing you 100%. If I don't think you're going to have a good culture, I'm not letting you in. It's what I'm most proud of is the culture of my coaching business. And you're not going to come in and ruin it. I can tell you that right now. And so I'm interviewing you just as much as you're trying to figure out if I can help you. That's how you ensure culture in your business. And if you have an onboarding process that kind of, you know, makes this an easy process to follow, then you're not forgetting those things. And when I say process, I mean, you literally have like a checkbox that could say something like, you know, Brad to give the culture speech, whatever you want to call it. I don't even care if my employees make fun of it and like have a name for it. And then when the new guy comes and I'm gone and they go, did Brad give you the culture speech? Did he tell you about all the values? I'm okay with that because they're just reinforcing what I just said. I don't care if I get made fun of for that. I encourage it, right? But if I have it on a process, I don't forget about it. Now, here's the second part of that. Just because you have a process, if you try and shortcut it, it doesn't matter. Just like any system you create, if you only do the system 80% of the time, then it's not going to work 100% of the time. Like when you create a system in your business, you have to follow it 100% every day or whenever it needs to be done. Otherwise, it's useless. What's the point of having using QuickBooks for your accounting if you don't go in and actually reconcile your bank accounts and put the information in? It's incorrect data. It's pointless at that point. It's the same with your onboarding process. So when you create this process, it allows you to flawlessly execute the onboarding every single time and not forget anything, right? So what's next? Documenting the process. I'm a big fan of documenting as you go instead of like sitting down and actually trying to do it from scratch. So if you don't have time, like right now, to sit down and document your, you know, all the things you need to do, fill out the W-4, you know, get a copy of their driver's license, get their shirt sizes, blah, 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 get them an email, get them a login for the software. If you don't have time to like sit down and document that, then as you hire a new person, you just take a little bit extra time and say, hey, while I'm onboarding you, I'm going to be documenting this process. Hope you don't mind. Oh, let's see. What do I need? Oh, yeah, I know. I need to get you a W-4. Okay, let me get out of the file cabinet over here, or let me print it out, right? Now, let me give you one more extra bonus on this. If you're going to print out the W-4, okay, and all of the other documents, find all of those documents, the W-4, the federal, I forget the form, the federal form they have to fill out, your bank deposit form, you know, direct deposit form, whatever forms they have to fill out, get all of those forms together and then create a PDF, a single PDF that has all of those forms in there already, so that all you have to do when you onboard someone is you go to a folder or wherever that process is and you click on that file and print, and it prints it all out. Okay? You don't go into one folder and search for W-4, find the file, and then print it out. And then go into another folder and look for the federal form and then fill it out. And then go to your email and search for your insurance agent and then look for the form they needed and then fill that out and print it out. No, you get all of this stuff ready. And again, you do this one time so that the next time you do it, it's going to save you like an hour of your time, right? This is part of business. This is documenting your business. This is creating SOPs. It takes longer the first time you do it so that it saves you time the next 50 times you do it. I'd rather spend an extra hour the first time and then save 20 minutes the next 50 times, because 50 times 20 is a lot more than 1 hour times one, right? Like I want to save time going forward. I want to make my life easier. So document this and set it up correctly. Don't half-ass it, all right? But even with that being said, even if you do half-ass it, that's still better than not doing it at all. Just keep iterating it, making it better and better and better. You can make a PDF file, and then guess what? You forgot, oh, crap, I need to add a shirt size. You know, I need to have a form for ordering shirts. That's another page. I forgot that. I guess I got to go in and create a new PDF and add that. And then every time you have a new form, you can add it. And so you just have one big file. You just hit print, and it prints everything out, right? So that's how you set that up so that to make it easy for you in the future. You can also, if you have assistants or office managers, you can task a lot of this stuff out to them. You don't have to be the one that does everything. I don't know if you know this, but just because you own the business and you think you're the best at everything in the world does not mean you have to be the one that does everything in your business. Because if you think no one else can do it as good as you, you do not have a good team. Like you might as well just start over, because you should be hiring people that actually do things better than you. That's business 101. That's leadership 101. You know, Henry Ford had a desk, and on his desk, he had a series of buttons that he could push a button and it would call that specific person in. So if he needed an engineer, he would hit the button, the engineer would come in and tell him what he needed to do. If he needed a designer, he would hit the button as a designer would walk in and tell him what he needed to know. Henry Ford didn't know how to do everything. He hired people smarter than him to tell him how to do stuff. That's the goal of owning a business, is to hire people that know how to do this stuff better than you. So have your assistant or your office manager write this stuff out for you, document it for you. Just say, hey, this is our process. This is what we do when we hire someone. Perfect. And then the first time you deploy this, guess what? It's going to miss something. The first time is always not the correct one. Everything you do in your business is a living document. It's alive. It has to be iterated. It may take you 15 tries to finally get the perfect version of it. I had a folder that I would print on 14 by 17 size cardstock. That's the perfect size to like fold it in half, and then you could put 8.5 by 11 paper in there. I had a form on there, and then on the inside, I had another form that I would take with me to the job. I think I went through at least 14 revisions of that folder over a period of several years, because things changed in my business too. Before I started doing consultations and charging, I had like an estimate form built in there. But then once I stopped doing free estimates, I didn't need that form specifically. So I removed it. So like things iterate in your business, they change. So whatever you create now is not going to be the same 3 years from now. But if you don't create anything, then you're just winging it every single time. And you would not believe how much time you waste on a regular basis doing the same task over and over again inefficiently because you haven't documented any of it. And this applies to SOPs as well. But with onboarding, you need to create everything they need up front. So the first day or two is in the office, you know, getting all of the things they need to get set up to win. Okay, we're not throwing them out in the field day one because I got to get my return on my investment right away. No, we want to make sure they're set up to win right away. So we're getting them all the information. If there's anything that needs to be addressed, it's addressed. It's taken care of. We're introducing them to any supervisors they may have, any support staff, you know, explaining how things are done internally so they understand the process. And then maybe day two, or three or four or five or whatever, now you're taking them out in the field and letting them do their job, right? If you have videos that you've created on certain processes and SOPs, then you would have them spend a little bit of time watching those videos. And by the way, guys, I know this doesn't have to be said, don't expect your new employees to do stuff on their time at home. Don't say, here's the employee handbook, go home tonight and read through it and then bring it back tomorrow and sign it. It is not your employee's responsibility to do stuff off the clock so that you don't have to pay for it. It is 100% your responsibility. So give them time to actually do it. And if you actually build that into your onboarding process, it gives you time to get the next thing ready. Hey, here is the employee manual. For the next 20 minutes, I want you to go through it, you know, highlight anything, write down any questions you may have. When you get done, I'll come in here, check on you, and then have you sign off on it, right? They go through it. You go in the other room or whatever. You print out some stuff. You get their, you know, set up their email, whatever it is, and then you come back in 20 minutes, and then you go through that. Don't freaking expect your employees to do that stuff on their time so you can save money. That's stupid. Off my soapbox. Let's wrap this up. I will put in the show notes a link to a sample onboarding checklist. It's very basic, guys. It's a single one page. You don't have to overcomplicate this. It is a it's a single page. It's an example. You can download it, and I'll make it so that you can save a copy of it and then edit it yourself for your business. But it'll give you a good starting point. Okay. The last thing is you can create a process like this. And the best thing that I've found is to use like a task management type of software. There's many out there. You know, there's the Kanban style, which are going to be like your Trello boards, your Mondays, Asana. I use Asana. There's some other ones out there that are similar. And then there's also like Workflowy, which is a little bit different setup, but it works well as, you know, good to document stuff. Anything like that will help you organize all of this information. And the good thing about like Asana or Trello is that you can put those files that I was telling you into each one of those sections so that whenever it's time to, you know, sign up for the software, you could have a link right there on that card that takes you right to the login or right to the place where you need to, you know, add them as a user or whatever that is. So I'm a big fan of software. Use software like that to organize your onboarding process. You can also check out a software. It's called Hammer CRM. That's actually a CRM software that I am developing. By the time you listen to this podcast, it may or may not be open to the public, but it will have in there eventually an onboarding process pipeline, if you will, that will make this automation a lot easier as well. So if the link is in the show notes for Hammer CRM, it means that it's active and you can go sign up. If you're listening to this and there is no link, it's because it's not active yet. So guys, I appreciate you hanging out with me. Hopefully you got some value out of this. Make sure you create a process that's repeatable. Create that culture from day one. Make sure they understand it and make your life easier for every future hire. You know where to find me on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Just search for the Hammer and Grind podcast. Look in the show notes for all those links. And remember, until next time, profit is not a dirty word.